بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد. We are still on our Usul al-Thalatha book, and we are on the chapter where the author mentions to support a statement 14 examples of ibadat. And we've been taking these essential ibadat and we've spent quite a few times on them, and it's time well worth it. Our topic today is the 10th ibadah, which is isti'ana. And the author says, وَدَلِيلُ الْإِسْتِعَانَةِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. So he mentions isti'ana, and then he mentions a proof from the Quran and another from the Sunnah. And if you look at isti'ana, alif, seen, ta, and ista'ant, the first three Arabic letters, words that begin like that indicate seeking or requesting. Wherever you see alif, seen, ta in the beginning, added to the beginning, the word means something about seeking or requesting. They're the words on ala wazn astaf'al. They're the words on the pattern of astaf'al. That's how we refer to it in Arabic grammar. Some examples like the ibadat we'll try to take today, inshallah, isti'ana, istighatha, istijara, all of them have the meaning of seeking. Every one of those ibadat. Even furthermore, istighfar. What's istighfar? Istighfar is seeking forgiveness. يعني طلب المغفرة. That you're seeking forgiveness. So istighfar. You see that alif, seen, ta. That's the common thing between all these words. Outside of ibadat. Take example outside of ibadat. Istansar. طلب النصر. Seeking victory. When you one seeks victory, istansar. فإذا الذي استنصره. Some scholars say it's the alif and seen that imply or mean the request. It's the alif and seen, the letters alif and seen in the beginning that imply the request. Some of the scholars say it's the seen by itself. This is a dispute among the scholars of grammar. Some say it's the seen by itself, and then some say, like I mentioned, alif, seen, ta all together. That really doesn't matter. What matters is when you see words starting like that, in that pattern, on the pattern of استفعل على السينتاء, it means a request. Sometimes, words on the pattern of استفعل can mean the act itself without the request. For example, Allah said, واستغنى الله, that letter, استغنى الله, ألف سين تاء, a request. The verse means Allah is rich. Istaghna here does not mean Allah sought to be rich, ma'ad Allah. It means Allah is rich. So in some cases, it may not mean the request part. In summary, what I just said, to avoid confusion, words on the pattern of the Arabic word astaf'al usually come in the meaning of seeking help for something, or seeking something, or pursuing something. Sometimes, like I said, it may come with the act itself free from the seeking part, like in the verse, وَاسْتَغْنَى اللَّهُ. Now our worship here is isti'ana, and isti'ana comes from al-ma'un wal-ma'una. It comes from assistance. When you say صالح عوني, it means صالح assisted me. صالح عوني, عبدالله عوني, means عبدالله or صالح assisted me, or they're my assistants. الاستعانة means to seek and appeal for assistance. And it's usually in general matters where no evil has touched you, nor do you expect that. Let me repeat. استعانة is to seek and appeal for assistance, and then pay attention to this delicate following sentence, because the following sentence, استعانة, is to seek and appeal for assistance. The following sentence will help you distinguish between this isti'ana And the following two worships that we're going to take after this. And you'll know its value when we take the following two worships, because it's a delicate difference. The sentence that I wanted you to keep an eye on is that isti'anah is usually in general matters where there's no evil that has touched yet, nor do you expect it. You don't expect evil. Isti'anah has different forms or types. And there's six forms of isti'anah. The first form of isti'anah is appealing for assistance and aid from Allah with the conditions and pillars. And there's four pillars to it. Complete humility to Allah. Isti'anah with complete humility to Allah. Isti'anah with complete submission to Allah. Isti'anah with complete tawakkul on Allah, meaning reliance on Allah and trust in one's affairs to Allah. And isti'anah with complete certainty in Allah, meaning one is certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for him and having confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the type, if you direct it to other than Allah, it's major shirk. And it can only be directed to Allah. This category, this form, can only be directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This type of isti'anah is the meaning of the hawqala. Hawqala in Arabic is the word referring to la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no might nor power except in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can attain benefits and save himself from harm or be aided in any matter, deen or dunya, except through isti'anah in Allah. So this category is a definition to the hawqala, which is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You need isti'anah in Allah in everything, whether it may be doing the ordains, or whether it may be isti'anah in Allah in leaving the prohibitions, or whether it may be in patience during the trials of this life. You need isti'anah not just in this life, you need isti'anah in the life after, and in the grave, and on the judgment day. No one will assist you with anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever seeks the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will aid him. This is why you may now know why we must say as a fard from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ 17 times by fard in our salah. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship, and you alone we appeal for aid. This is the first form of isti'anah. The second form of isti'anah is isti'anah or seeking help in a creation, in something which he is capable of helping you in. Isti'anah or seeking help from a creation, from a person, in something he is capable of helping you in. This matter depends on the action that is sought. It depends on the action that is sought. Is it halal or is it haram? If someone seeks isti'anah in another in a matter that is halal, then it's permissible for him to do that. And the one who's being asked will get reward for responding and helping. For example, someone is moving and he says, "Brother, can you help me in moving my furniture?" Or when you came to the dars today, you ask a brother, "Can we carpool to the dars?" Allah said, "وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى." Seek assistance with one another upon righteous actions. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. That's the Surah Al-Ma'idah. There's another one. وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Do good. Indeed, Allah loves those who do good. And that one is in Surah Al-Baqarah. That's if it's halal. That's if it's halal. What about if the matter you seek isti'ana in is haram? If the matter you're seeking isti'ana in is a haram issue, then it's forbidden for the one asking, seeking isti'ana, to ask, and it's forbidden for the one who is asked to even help. That's, for example, like someone being asked to hand or bring or buy a cup or a can or a bottle of alcohol. Or, for example, one asking another one to go and co-sign for a riba contract, or to witness in it, or to drive him to that, or to drive him to any sin, transport him to any sin. That is haram. That is, what's the proof on that? The verse that I just mentioned. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا إِنْ سُوتُ الْمَائِدَةِ وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not assist one another in prohibitions and sins and transgression. It's by the clear verse. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. That's the second form of isti'ana. The third form of isti'ana or seeking help is seeking the help from a creation who is alive and present, but it's something he can't do and it's beyond his ability and means. It's something he can't do, it's beyond his ability and means. That's not shirk. That's not shirk, but it's what you would say, it's useless talk or futile talk, but it's not shirk. Why is it not shirk? Why is it not shirk? It's not shirk for two reasons. Number one, because you're actually speaking to a person. There's a human being there, you're saying, hand me this or give me that. He's not able to do it, but you're actually speaking to a person. The second reason is, it's the matter you're asking him is not among those that are hidden or unseen. That's why it's not shirk. An example, if you tell a child or older person or a paralyzed person, who can't carry something heavy, help me carry this big box. That's not shirk. Why we mention this? Because we need to know. We can't go around declaring people mushrikeen, and you would hear this at times. That's not shirk. But if the matter you're asking him is something that's hidden or unseen, that leads us to the next category, the fourth category. In the fourth category, is best described as A and B. A and B is seeking isti'ana, seeking aid in someone that's deceased, a deceased person. That's A. B is seeking the aid of someone that's living in matters they cannot do or reach, and that those matters are considered among the hidden and unseen. This type of seeking helping is major shirk. Major shirk. Why? Because this can only be done by someone who believes that he sought help from someone who has hidden control over the creation, which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Very simple and basic stuff. The fifth one, the fifth type of isti'ana or seeking help, seeking aid in something one can do and is able to do. You're seeking some aid from someone who's able to do something with reliance on him. With reliance on him. Note here, we added the keyword reliance on that person. That word could throw you off. That's actually the only difference between this fifth category and the second category. Look up in your notes. In the second category, we said seeking help in a creation, in something which he is capable of helping in. We said that's permissible. Here, if you add the reliance factor, the keyword reliance, reliance on that person, like seeking the help of a doctor, isti'ana in a doctor, with reliance on that doctor, seeking isti'ana in a lawyer with reliance on him, that's minor shirk. Minor shirk. It becomes minor shirk if there is reliance on the creation in that which they can do. And one of the ways to check the status of your reliance is by seeing if your heart feels so assured and firm that that person or individual has the full solution. It's in him and it's in his hands and control. The final category is seeking help in deeds, isti'ana in deeds. What we mean is seeking help by performing and turning to Allah in deeds, through deeds. Deeds that are beloved to Allah. Seeking help by, for example, performing salah when in need. Seeking help by being patient throughout your life, because patience is a ibadah. When it's the intention is there, patience is a worship in itself. Seeking help in deeds to attain Allah's help. The ruling on this one, on this category or form, is that this is something that's prescribed by Allah. It's permitted. It's recommended by Allah. Allah said, يا سبحانه وتعالى، الله سبحانه وتعالى said يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. Seek assistance through your patience and prayer. That's the Surah Al-Baqarah. Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله in عدة الصابرين said Allah directed his servants to turn to salah and patience for aid in matters of this life and the matters of the hereafter. Ahmad, Imam Ahmad in Abu Dawood narrated that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حزبه أمر صلى. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حزبه أمر صلى. Pay attention to that hadith. In عون المعبود, the author said, حزبه, the key word in the hadith is حزبه. It means when he was afflicted with a calamity or stress or sorrow or grief or worry or distress, all that falls under the word of حزبه. When he was afflicted with that, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would turn to salah. Try it and you will see relief. Try this ibadah. Try this abandoned ibadah. If you were to analyze the non-obligatory nafil or sunnah salahs, among the most popular salah you will see is istikhara. Among the most popular ones is istikhara. It's one of the most that I get questions on. It's the, one of the most that you hear people doing. When Muslims have a decision like an engagement or a marriage or a divorce or buying a house or moving or other matters, they hasten to do salah, salat al-istikhara. It's very widespread and very popular. A salah, just as important, maybe even more important, that you rarely see anyone doing, illa man rahim Allah, yet it's needed and essential, is the salah of one in a difficulty or distress. Revive that sunnah. Revive that sunnah and look what you'll get out of it. You'll get the reward of reviving the sunnah of one who is in distress or grief. On top of that, you'll get your normal reward for doing that salah. And on top of that, you'll get the enhancement of being relieved from that issue or matter that you're facing. When a brother or sister gets an anxiety attack or stress, or they're expecting a hardship, or they're facing a hardship, or they anticipate, for example, bad news, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save you from all that, at home or at work, head to those two rak'ahs. Pray those two rak'ahs. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, salah is the biggest aider for firmness in all matters. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, in the first volume of Fath al-Bari, he said, it's sunnah to hasten to salah if one anticipates that something evil may happen to him. It's sunnah to head to salah and hasten to salah if he anticipates something evil. Ibn Jarir narrated that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was walking one day and they told him, your brother had just died. They broke the news to him that his brother died. So he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Then he immediately stepped to the side of the road that he was on and he began to make salah. Then he returned to his camel saying, "Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek help in patience and in salah." In Al-Furu' ibn al-Muflih, Al-Ajuri, and others, it was actually other than him too. They said, when one is afflicted, let them turn to salah. One of the critical, the most critical times, one of the most critical times during the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was in Badr. Look at the critical timing and the critical situation. A defeat in that battle means the extinction of Islam. He said that in his dua. If you don't give my people victory, you will not be worshipped on this earth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aligned the roles, after he aligned the roles for the battle and it was about to begin, the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, headed to salah. Ibn Mas'ud said, لما التقينا يوم بدر قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي. And then after his salah, he made dua. The dua that you know where Abu Bakr was held in his upper garment for him. In another hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Ali radiallahu anhu said, there was not a single one of us except who went to sleep the night before the battle of Badr. Except the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was up all night making salah and crying and pleading with Allah by the tree until the morning broke. الإمام أحمد في مسند عن علي في يوم بدر قال علي قال لقد رأيتنا وما فينا إلا نائم إلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تحت شجرة يصلي ويبكي حتى أصبح. One thing I wanted to know is that some claim that this salah is a bid'ah salah. It's bid'ah to do it. And this is because the reason they say that is because they found a portion of the hadith on this matter and not the other. Or when they were asked, they neglected the other part for some reason. There are some weak hadith on this matter that have a specific dua attached to it. Meaning, if one is in distress, this is how the weak hadith goes. If one is in distress, let him make 2 rak'at. And then the supposed weak hadith, the weak hadith says, make this specific dua. Those hadith with the specific dua attached to them about salat al-haja of the salat of the one in distress are weak. For example, one of those is من كانت له حاجة إلى الله وإلى أحد من خلقه فليتوضأ وليصلي ركعتين ثم ليقل. The weak hadith says, whoever has a need, let him go, or is in distress, let him go make wudu and pray 2 rak'ahs and say the following. And say the following. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم إني أسألك موجبات رحمتك. That's in Ibn Majah. In the Tirmidhi, in the Hakim, and it's very weak. That's a very weak hadith that I just mentioned. What happened to some, and why I mentioned it, is because I've seen and read it for some talabat al-ilm, that they seen that this is weak, and then they canceled out all the prayer of distress altogether. To be clear, what's weak is the hadith that's saying, if you're afflicted in a matter, go make wudu, pray, and then make the specific dua. The ones with the specific dua are weak. That's the one that's weak. What's not weak in the hadith, and what's in fact sunnah, as recommended not only by a hadith actually, but by verses in the Quran, and by a hadith, and by statements of the Salaf. What's sunnah, and documented by all that, is the general salah of one in distress, with no specific dua. When in distress, when anything bothers you, when you're facing anything in life, anything, head to salah. Head to salah and make dua. Unlike salat al-istikhara, that has a specific dua attached to it, there's no authentic dua that's attached to the salah of the one in distress. Just head to salah and spill your heart out to Allah in any dua that comes to your tongue and pray and plead and beg and ask Allah and do isti'ana in Allah, and you will see Allah support to you. 2 verses in the Quran support this ibadah. 2 verses in Surah Al-Baqarah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Twice in Surah Al-Baqarah. Seek help in patience and in salah. Seek your aid, isti'ana, in your patience in your salah. How is salah a comfort and support? How is it a comfort and support? Salah is a connection to Allah. It's a connection. When your connection or bond with Allah is strong, Allah's support for you will be stronger. And if Allah supports you, your matters all will turn into ease. That's how your salah is an aid to you and support to you. And it's a isti'ana. I don't want to get off topic too much, but these are matters that one needs on a daily basis. In life, this is the rule of life. You're either afflicted or you're waiting for affliction. There's no dodging that rule. If you're not afflicted, don't get happy, because affliction is a fact of life. Trials are a fact of life. Now let me add, in that specific salah, there's, like I said, there's no authentic hadith with a specific dua attached to it. However, there is a dua that's authentic that has nothing to do with the salah of the distressed, but it's something you can seek isti'ana in as well. In Sahih Muslim, Ibn Abbas said, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afflicted with a matter and used the same word that I mentioned earlier, حَزَبَهُ كَانَ إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ قَالَ كَانَ إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ الْحَلِيمُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَرَبُّ الْأَرْضِ وَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمُ. نعم. You should have had your phone recording here, or next time, please get it from one of the brothers, or after class, you know, we answer questions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and protect you. That's just to save time during class, because you know every minute here counts, and it's easier for the brothers recording so they can upload it quickly. But I will repeat it, inshallah, this time. The hadith is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afflicted with a matter, and it starts off just like the salah. Kana idha hazabahu. Hazabahu means a matter afflicted. Like I said, it's sadness, calamity, anything. The first one is on salah, but this is a dua. When a matter afflicted, he will say, La ilaha illallah al-azim al-halim. La ilaha illallah al-azim al-halim. La ilaha illallah rabbul arsh al-kareem. La ilaha illallah rabbul arsh al-kareem. لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض رب العرش الكريم لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض رب العرش الكريم. In Sahih Muslim, the narration that I just mentioned just has that dua. But in another authentic narration in Musnad Ahmad, it has this dua that I just mentioned, and then it said one should follow it by his own personal dua. Meaning you just say what I just said, and then make your own personal dua. Make that like an introduction, and then begin with your dua. And another dua that just remembered, that for those in distress, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, it's authentic, an Anas radiyallahu an, annahu kana idha hazabahu amr, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's the same word that I used, faced with anything, he used to say, ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith. Now, how does this tie into our class? How does this tie to our class? I don't want you to feel that we went off track, because these classes are focused to the point. What we're studying here is isti'ana, if you remember. We said there's forms of isti'ana, and we mentioned six of them. In the sixth one, we said is seek and help in deeds. Isti'ana in deeds. Isti'ana in deeds to get, of course, Allah's help. So the example we mentioned of dua, I mentioned two dua in those hadith, is seeking isti'ana in dua. Those are examples of that. The salah of the distress is an example. Sabr is an example of that. So they're examples of the sixth category or form of isti'ana. The final point under isti'ana is the proof. وَدَلِيلُ الْإِسْتِعَانَةِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. So he mentions an ayah in a hadith. The author, rahimahullah, uses for the ayah, the verse in Surah Al-Fatiha, you alone we worship, and you alone we appeal for aid. And for the hadith, he mentions the saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you seek help, then seek help of Allah alone and only Allah. إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Let's take first the verse. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. If you remember with some previous proofs we took, this should have been, there's something switched around here. This should have been نَعْبُدُكَ وَنَسْتَعِينُكَ instead of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It also should have, it should have been إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُكَ وَنَسْتَعِينُكَ instead of إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. But why is إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين? There's a very big lesson in that. He mentions the word upon which the verb acts before the verb itself. He said, إياك نعبد instead of نعبدك. The rule is, أريد الحصر والقصر فقدم ما حقه التأخير. أريد الحصر والقصر فقدم ما حقه التأخير. According to the principles of the Arabic grammar, the language which the Quran, of course, was revealed in, bring in forward, what I just told you earlier, bring in forward that which usually comes afterwards indicates restriction and particularization. تقديم ما حقه التأخير يفيد الحصر والقصر. You remember how many times? I believe we went over it twice, but it's okay to keep going over it so it'll stick and be embedded in our minds. The words were switched around to stress and emphasize that directing ibadah or isti'ana is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. And it's shirk to give it to other than Allah. It only belongs to Allah. It's to stress that fact, only to Allah. Let me give you an example outside the Quran. Outside the verses of the Quran, maybe that will help you understand. In Arabic, you say, ضربت زيدا. I hit Zayd. First you say, I hit. Then you say the name. I hit Muhammad. I hit Salih. However, you can flip them around. You can flip it around to say, زيدا ضربت. يعني لا غيره. When you flip them around, and that's not common, the more common is the other way, the first way that I told you. When you flip them around, it means you're trying to stress the fact that the only one you hit was Zayd or Saleh or whoever you mentioned. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين is not نعبدك ونستعينك, because this is a dangerous matter of shirk. And it's to stress that you only worship Allah and only Allah. You only give Allah your isti'ana and your ibadah. And you only seek your aid from Allah. It's switched around to restrict and particularize and emphasize ibadah and isti'ana to Allah alone. Iyyaka na'bud. Iyyaka na'bud, Ibn Abbas said, means you alone, Allah, we worship. And you alone, Allah, we fear. And we have hope in no one other than you. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ, just as it appears to declare that we worship Allah alone, it also declares that we renounce shirk. Just as it declares we worship Allah alone, it declares that we renounce shirk. Because Tawheed is إثبات النفي. إياك نستعين. We declare with that no one has the right and power to assist us but Allah. You alone we seek and appeal for assistance. You alone, Ya Allah, we seek and appeal for assistance. Why did he say إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين? You alone we worship and you alone we appeal for aid. Why wasn't it you flipped around? Why wasn't it you alone we appeal for aid and you alone we worship? He mentioned na'bud before nasta'een. The ulama said it's because ibadah is more important. Now another question. We said isti'ana is a worship. Isti'ana. All our talk today is a worship. It's about a worship, the ibadah of isti'ana. We've been saying, as I say in every one of the last few classes, we're going over the 14 matters of ibadah, of worship, that the author chose as examples. Isti'ana is one. It's our topic today. It's called and considered a worship. So why is the verse, we worship you only, and we seek your aid only, Ya Allah? Had it been, we worship you, had it been, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ, right there, period, wouldn't that also include the following worship, which is isti'ana? Wouldn't that be included as a ibadah? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ, نَسْتَعِينَ, isti'ana is included in the ibadah. appealing for his aid, isti'ana, is part of ibadah. It's part of iyyaka na'bud. Why did he mention it separately if it's already included in iyyaka na'bud? There's three reasons some ulama mention. The first reason is what you call mentioning the broad matter, which is iyyaka na'bud, mentioning the broad matter, which is iyyaka na'bud, then emphasizing a special or important or essential matter, which is iyyaka nasta'in. You get that better if I tell you another verse. حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى. Guard your prayers and your middle prayer. He said, guard your prayers and the middle prayer. Isn't the middle prayer already? Had he said guard your prayers, period, wouldn't that include the middle prayer? Of course it's included. The reason he specified the middle prayer, even though it's included in the prayers, is to emphasize the special salah or important salah, which is the middle salah. Another example. If a mother has three children, four children, and she sends them off with a babysitter or a relative or a friend to the park or somewhere, or to sleep the night over her sister's house, one of them may be an infant or sick, for example, she's going to say, take care of my kids. And then she's going to say, take care of Muhammad, or be careful with Muhammad. Isn't Muhammad part of her kids? Isn't Muhammad included when she said, take care of my kids? Of course. But what she means is, pay extra special attention to Muhammad, or Muhammad's important, or there's something about Muhammad that you need to take care of. That's one reason. Another reason some ulama mentioned for mentioning both, even though isti'ana is included as a ibadah, is because the first one, iyyaka na'bud, ibadah here, is purely a right of Allah. It's a right of Allah purely. Whereas isti'ana, yes, it's a right of Allah purely, but it relates to the servant in that he's also asking aid for himself from Allah. That's another reason. And a third reason some ulama mentioned is even though isti'ana is included in iyyaka na'bud, it's still mentioned because you need isti'ana in every aspect of your ibadah. You affirm iyyaka na'bud because you could never, ever, ever do ibadah without isti'ana. So Allah put, without Allah aiding you, there's no ibadah. If Allah does not give you awn, isti'ana, your isti'ana that you seek, can you do ibadah? You can't. So it was mentioned after that because it's essential in you making your ibadah. Now, that's the verse the author used. He also used the hadith as proof. The hadith is, إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Or actually, the portion that he used is, إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. This is part of a much longer hadith. When Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was riding with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Messenger began to teach him as a young little boy. The Messenger took the opportunity while Ibn Abbas was riding with him to teach him. He told him in the hadith, يَا غُلَامُ إِنِّي أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ. يَا غُلَامُ إِنِّي أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ. احْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظُكَ. احْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَى أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَى أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَإِنْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَى أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. This is actually one of my favorite hadith. This hadith, I don't know, I can't see how anyone can go on his day-to-day life or his lifetime without at least keeping the meaning of it between his eyes. It's a hadith one can literally write several volumes on its explanation or give a series of lectures on it without no exaggeration. It's a hadith that establishes tawakkul and isti'ana, and it puts one at ease and peace of mind. The author chose the statement that pertains to our issue here. Out of that hadith, he chose, إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek aid and assistance, seek it from Allah alone. If you seek aid and assistance, seek it from Allah alone. We're poor to Allah. We're poor to Allah. We're weak to Allah. We're therefore always in need of Allah's aid and support. So the hadith says, turn to Allah in isti'ana. When you're faced with anything, anything, genuinely and truthfully and wholeheartedly, turn to Allah in isti'ana, and you will see that Allah is ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. He will be your protector and He will be your supporter. And what an excellent protector and supporter and helper He is. Turn to Allah. Turn to Allah sincerely in your matters. From the beginning of your matters to the end. From the start of your matters to the end. What I mean by that is, don't go seeking every single means and remedy. Then when you hit a dead end and everything, then you go turn to Allah. Allah will then accept you, of course. But make it a habit to turn to Allah from the start of your matters. From the start of your life. Meaning, you teach your kids. Make isti'an in Allah the first of your choices. And you will see, wallahi, Allah will not let you down. He will make you happy and content. He wouldn't let you down in a matter. You do isti'ana in Him, in even if the universe with its might and everything in it collaborated against you. That's only when you do the proper isti'ana in Him. In Him, the tawheed, have the pure tawheed in your isti'ana. That's why we learned isti'ana, and that's why we learned the conditions of isti'ana. Because in order to get Allah's aid, you have to fulfill the conditions, like we mentioned amongst them, is submission, tawakkul, certainty. We mentioned those. Have certainty in Allah while you do your isti'ana in Him. Didn't we say the worships of the heart, some of them are intertwined with each other? Like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, work on perfecting the conditions of your isti'ana. That's what we want to achieve. If you knew a king somewhere, a wealthy, powerful king, and he promised to protect you, or you knew some billionaire who was generous to you, anything you wanted, you just go and he'll fund you. Would you ever be scared over your security or your salary or your job? It's the king. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَلَى. It's the king of all kings. And it's the one who owns the treasures of the heavens and the earth. When you say استعنت بالله, don't say it on the tip of your tongue, just something coming out of your tongue. Say it wholeheartedly and believe in it in full confidence in the one who you're seeking aid from, and you will see the results. If Allah aids you, rest assured, you've been truly aided. And if He forsakes you, who is there after Him that can aid you and support you? Who other than Allah can support you if Allah doesn't support you? Isti'ana returns upon you in this life with an honorable life. You live your life. If you have isti'ana, you will have an honorable, noble life. And then the high ranks of Jannah in the Akhirah, the ultimate goal. That's the fruit of Tawheed. You need to feel it in this life before the Akhirah. Throughout your affairs and throughout your life, keep your unwavering isti'ana in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wisdom sometimes and at times may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays His aid and support to you. And it's not that Allah forgot. Never ever think of that. Ma'ad Allah. You have to keep that in mind. That's why when one is in the agony of being oppressed, you know the oppressor? He goes to sleep comfortably. One who's being oppressed, whether it may be little matters or big matters, he doesn't sleep the nights. The nights seem endless and dark, darker than ever. And the dua is constant. And then one may think, why didn't Allah answer me? That's why Allah says, ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون. Consider not that Allah is unaware of the oppressors. Allah didn't forget about them. That's what he's trying to tell you. Allah didn't forget about those. The delay, there's wisdom and plenty of wisdom. The delay may be to make you despair in all means and in all creations and to turn to Allah alone, and at the same time to show you that all and everyone turned away from you, or that no one was able to help you but Allah Jalla fi'ala. Sometimes the wisdom in delaying the help of Allah to you when you do isti'ana in Him, maybe to test your isti'ana. It may be to test your isti'ana. Do you really have certainty in Allah in your isti'ana? Allah wants to test you. Do you have the conditions we mentioned fulfilled? He wants to test your certainty in isti'ana. Take this example. If a little ant was able to speak, crawled over here on this desk, and able to speak to one of us, and they saw isti'ana in me or you, the ant told you, there's 100 ants coming after me at a distance, they're chasing me, they're after me, there's a tribe of them, they're going to kill me. You want to test the isti'ana of that ant in you. Is her isti'ana faithful or not? Do you just go run and crush those 100 ants and put an end to them? What you do is let them get closer and closer and closer. Not only do you test her isti'ana, the ant that saw isti'ana in you, but you also want to show the ant your power and your mercy. Now getting rid of those ants is no obstacle to you. You can do it by stepping on them when they're far away or when they get closer. It takes a millisecond to do it. But if those ants got real close, right in front of that ant that sought help in you, and then you stepped and killed them and eliminated them, it reflects on that one ant. You showed the ant your ability. You showed the ant your power. You showed the ant how merciful you were with her. You showed her how you fulfilled your promise. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah has the supreme examples. Allah tests you to relieve you. Allah tests you to relieve you. Allah tests you to be merciful and compassionate over you. He lets matters get closer and closer and closer to you. Just when you think your isti'ana failed and the matter would never be relieved, He Jalla fi'ulah relieves you and aids you. It happened to the messengers. When they saw help from Allah, the last verse in Surah Yusuf, what does it say? The messenger saw isti'ana in Allah. حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. They were reprieved. Until when? Until when the messengers gave up hope. They gave up hope. And then they thought they were denied. They were actually, some scholars say, that they were sure they were denied. It was the end. They hit the dead end. What happened then? They were denied. They hit the dead end. Then comes to them our help. The help and aid and support for those messengers who saw isti'ana came when? Pay attention to those details when you read the Quran. It came when they gave up hope and they thought they were denied. Who was it were denied until the last moment? Me and you, it was the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of all creations. Ibrahim alayhi salam, his beloved messenger, the Khalil of Allah, and one of the special five messengers, Ulul Azm. Couldn't Allah have saved Khalilullah? Couldn't Allah have saved Khalilullah as soon as they began to light the matches to burn him, or even before that? They turned on the fire. He let them go. He let it get closer. They come closer to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He let them get closer. They shackled Khalilullah. He let them restrain him. Ibrahim alayhi salam is isti'ana in his iman, in his tawakkul, his unwavering. They put him in a cannon to shoot him over. He let them get closer. His isti'ana was firm throughout all that. Couldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have saved him before any one of those steps? What about right before they shot him to the fire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let Khalilullah alayhi salatu wasalam go all the way to land inside the fire. He tests and he delays his help and support, his aun to you, to show you his power, to show you his mercy, to show you his love. When he relieves you, you're going to be happier and more well off than you were before if you had the true isti'ana. He tests you and lets it get closer because he wants you to be unwavering in your yaqeen, in expecting Allah's aid. Allah's aid. When the young kids, you know the story of Surah Al-Kahf, teenagers, Surah Al-Kahf, the young men, they saw isti'ana in Allah. Allah directed them to a cave. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever hide in an open room? What do you do? What's the first thing you do when you hide? You close the door and you put a chair or something or a dresser behind the door. Is sleeping, and all of them sleeping, something that coincides with people hiding? Isn't the first thing people hide and do or say is be on alert? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show that they sought my aid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show they sought my aid. Therefore, they will be protected. And to make the miracle of protecting them bigger, to show them his power subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be protected while sleeping in an open quarters and sleeping. Note that word, sleeping and in an open quarters. Leave the means to Allah when you seek isti'ana in Him. That's not your business. That's not our business. To show how enormous and significant and powerful this ibadah is, let me say, and I'll conclude with this so we can make our salah. When Fir'aun, the superpower of his time, the man who claimed to be the supreme Lord, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, he said. Not just the Lord, the supreme Lord, the tyrant of all tyrants, the man with the mightiest army of his time, and with lofty pillars that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the like of which were not produced in all of the land. الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. He threatened to annihilate and extinct Musa and everyone who followed Musa. Listen. وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ أَتَذَرُ مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ لِيُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكَ قَالَ سَنُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّا فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ. The chiefs and leaders of Fir'aun's people, they went to him. These are the people, evil, mischief people, the chiefs. They said to Fir'aun, are you going to go leave Musa and his people to spread mischief in the land? Notice, side issue, how the mischief called the righteous mischief people. وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ أَتَذَرُ مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ لِيُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. These are instigators, troublemakers, who kiss up to the tyrants. People who kiss up to the tyrants to get a smile or a pat on the back, or, you know, to be safe from their evil. أَتَذَرُ مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ لِيُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكَ. They go up to Fir'aun and look how evil they are. They're so evil, those who kiss up to the tyrants. They made Fir'aun look like an angel. He said, you're going to leave those people. They're the one's suggestion. They made Fir'aun look like he's an innocent man. And Fir'aun said, oh, okay, we'll kill their children and enslave their women. And we're indeed irresistible over them. سَنُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاهُمْ وَنَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّا فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ. Look at that threat. And that's the point of our verse here. Look at that threat. You know who it's from and to who it's directed. You know how powerful Fir'aun is and how weak Musa appeared to be, alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay, Musa, what's going to happen now? What's the solution? Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, gets these threats. Give us a solution. His solution, being weak, is our ibadah today. His solution was that. قال موسى لقومه استعينوا استعينوا بالله استعينوا بالله واصبروا إن الأرض لله يورثها من يشاء من عباده والعاقبة للمتقين. موسى said to his people, seek help in Allah. استعانة in Allah. Our topic today. The earth is Allah's earth. Verily the earth is Allah's earth. He gives it as a heritage to whom he wills. Now you know why isti'ana is part of Al-Fatiha. And why we must read it 17 times by fard a day. Jazakum Allah khair. Jazakum Allah khair for paying close attention today and being fully focused. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you beneficial knowledge and